Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and today we've got, well, a very unique personality. Before we went on the air, I was saying we were a couple of odd ducks and really worked out well. He lives in the Northwest, but he is in what we call the dry area, and I said, well, I live in the wet area, so you just got to fake it till you make it. So we're just going to be doing our thing at the odd bucks, ducks of the universe. This is Donna Sebo, and my guest is Robert Rideout, and we're going to be talking about his book, Still Singing Somehow. Robert, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Donna. Great
now,
to be here.
Well, it's a delight having you, and you had sent me a video on one of your songs that you have put together. Your book was really quite a read,
yeah.
A read, because one, you were so exceptionally candid about everything that you put in here, which in my view, I think takes guts, and two, I was fascinated about the spiritual, physical, emotional, intellectual routing that you have followed. I mean, gee whiz, guy, you really did take the hard circuitous route.
I did, and then it took 7 years to actually make the book. So, and I never even really at one point even thought it would be a book. And then, you know, the years went on of continuing to play with it and rewrite it and finally put dialogue in. And that was probably the most challenging part, was that.
I think for us to be able to stand at any point in our life and to turn around and look at what we've gone through with really clear eyes is very difficult, because we all have our filters. And what I felt when I was reading your book is that as you were putting this together, those filters were literally dropping from your mind's eye. Am I wrong?
No, you're right. I wanted to be as honest as I could be, really to myself, and actually probably display your worst character defects just openly,
mm-hmm.
you know, forgive myself. I had so much shame and guilt for the, quote, wasted life I felt I had lived for so long, and by ending up in prison, that was just the bottom line. And I used that time in prison to get well and write this book. So prison was actually probably one of the greatest blessings in disguise I ever had laid on me. And it gave me the exact perfect spot to read, study the complete Course in Miracles again,
mm-hmm.
which I had started in when I was in my 30s and thought I was too young then. So that came back into my life, and that was a really a profound influence on the change and really the self-forgiveness it took to forgive myself and finally love Rob just for who he is, you know,
That is a big step. And someone listening to this might say, oh, come on, give me a break. Isn't that a little narcissistic? No, it's not. Because you cannot, in all honesty, if you do not like yourself, if you don't love yourself, you're going to be sort of closed off from other people, because you're going to be feeling very, very vulnerable. Now, this book, your book, Still Singing Somehow, you dedicated this to your son.
Yeah.
And because you were writing this while you were in prison, how old was your son when you went into your prison experience?
About 14.
Wow.
14 to 16 and a half. And the first visit when he came, it was quite shocking for all of us, for me to
mm-hmm.
be in orange and them to see me with his stepfather and the whole thing, you know, and it broke the ice and then it became easier. Visitations
mm-hmm.
are really hard on inmates emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
It's just almost easier to do your time without visitations. as odd as that does sound. But I'm really glad he did come, and I just wanted him to know the whole story of, you know, how and why I ended up where I did and really who I was, because he was taken away from me at about age six.
Mm-hmm.
And I had some contact, but not, you know, not the father-son relationship I would have ultimately liked to have had. So I thought by writing it out, you know, it might help him to understand me better. But then in the process, I really found I was writing it for myself,
mm-hmm.
as
which
part
is...
of the healing process.
Right.
You
know? Right. Now, with your son, has he read the book?
He's just about finished with it. Yeah, he has read it. He's about 90% done. I think he wanted to be done by today. I'm not sure if he made it or not.
Now, when he was going through and reading this book, did he say anything to you? Because, again, this is gut-wrenching. This is really, to me, when I was reading it, it was like I was living through your words, the things that you were experiencing. And I have to tell you, just from my own filter, some of it I went through and I went, oh, good Lord, how come you didn't figure this one out in advance? And,
yeah.
You know, you're, it's so easy to be judgmental. But
right,
yet
right.
at the same time, I could see why you did it. You know, after I got, I would turn a page and then I'd say, okay, this is the reason why he did it. But so many times when we're on the outside looking in, we'll say, someone really did something stupid. Why are they so stupid? They don't,
oh,
don't they know better? And the truth is, you did know better, but this was your experience. Why do you think you chose such a difficult route?
Oh, I think it's had to do with learning to live with yourself, to be alone, you know, and accept yourself just alone, without a son, without a wife, without a house, without anything. And I had to evidently get that strength that I must not have had. I was too attached to too many things, and like the Christian mystics told me early on in my life, that if you want to know God, he will take everything from you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that happened to me, literally. The house burned down, we rebuilt it, then lost it in divorce. I lose my body, broken in 12 places from a 20-foot fall. You know, like after the house burned down, I'm pregnant, we got a baby coming. Just
mm-hmm.
one thing after another, my father dying shortly after that, then my best friend a month after my father. And everything was taken from me, and I got very depressed and thought that really nobody cares for me, and I sure didn't care for myself after a while, and then that's when the drinking really accelerated, and I was really using alcohol to just, I just didn't want to wake up. I wanted
mm-hmm.
to die, but I was too afraid to commit suicide, and really didn't have suicidal thoughts, but on some level, I think I had given up on life. On all of it. With all that I knew, I was at the dark night of the soul.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
and then through all the prayers of all my friends and all the different meetings I had and things, I ended up in prison because I was probably that close to death. And prison, my son understood that that was the best environment for me. He said, that's the best place you could be, Dad. You know, those prayers might have put you there and saved you.
Mm-hmm.
So in answer to your question about how does he feel about it, he came up here this summer with his wife. They've been married 2 years now. They got married at 19, and we got to spend a week together. So a lot of the stories came out in person with me talking with him. And in fact, a lot of even deeper stuff came out. So I feel that he's just accepting what he's reading pretty much because he's already heard me explain quite a bit of it and, like I said, some of the deeper stuff already to him. So he's a very intelligent young man that's 180 degrees different than me, and I'm so proud of him and love him so much. And I feel so blessed that we have had this healing, you know, that all of my
mm-hmm.
wishes and dreams and hopes and prayers have all come true between him and I. And the future looks just beautiful. So I'm really, really grateful that the book touched his wife and him, and you know, and hopefully others will have the guts to read it.
mm-hmm.
And I'm really floored that it was just compared to Eat, Pray, Love by Elizabeth Gilbert recently on BookReview.com. 'Cause,
wow.
Yeah, and people that have seen the movie or going to see the movie, they said in the review that I definitely believe in synchronicity, which I do, and that's in the book. And my timing couldn't be better with the release of the movie, Eat, Pray, Love, you know, comparing it to my book. But they went a little bit further and said that mine had a more authentic feel, perhaps because I am more authentic in some on some levels, you know, than her book. And I read her book as I was writing my book and saw a lot of similarities kind of in our writing style and how she used Rudraksha beads on the cover to spell the word pray, which I've been wearing around my neck for over 40 years and still do daily, all the time. And she used that as a hook to use those 108 little seeds on a mala or a rosary to separate her stories. And I picked right up on that. And I thought, when I read her book, wow, it's a lot like mine, but mine is longer, deeper, heavier, and on some levels better. And
well,
I don't mean
that.
I don't mean it egotistically. I loved her book, too. And she's a great writer, and she's got a lot more books than I have. So God bless her. But it is, you know, if people like Eat, Pray, Love, they really should check out my book.
I agree. I think what makes your book such a profound read is that you are coming from the perspective of releasing yourself from a lot of what maybe you would never have been willing to have in, discuss, I should say, in conversation
with
someone. So it's as if when you put the words to paper, and that's what I got through the whole book, every single segment you had to have this honesty. Without the honesty, you could not finish, and you had to go back and really have an integrity with yourself, which I think any good writer does. Now, right at the very, very beginning of your book, you talk about being in Superior Court, and you said you had been brought in because you could serve anywhere from 4 months to 4 years for an aggravated DUI felony.
Right.
And you said, I accept it. I don't have, you'd reached that point.
Oh, totally.
That you knew.
I couldn't wait for it, actually.
Mm-hmm.
It was the 2 months before that actual date that was the hardest 2 months of my entire life, was the fear of the unknown.
Mm-hmm.
Once you actually begin the process and are standing in front of the judge, it's like you just have to let go, because here we go. The ride's going to begin. And my lawyer couldn't even tell me. He's supposed to be able to tell me right before I approach the judge what it's going to be. And he didn't know. So I was really in a quandary, and I just gave it up to God and thought, whatever you sentence me to, it's the will of God, and I just wholeheartedly accepted. And I thought 2.5 years was a little stiff, but I could have gotten 4. So, and a lot of others, you know, that was the middle of the road.
Let's talk about your family a little bit, because your mother was quite a woman.
Oh, she was.
Tell us a little bit about your mom, because you've got some family history here. You're also a very fine musician.
Yeah,
so,
I've been playing.
Yeah, so tell us about a little bit about your background when you were growing up, because you loved drumming. But let's talk about your mom for a while, because she was a pretty strong influence on your life.
She was. You know, my mom would tell me, Rob, you're just like me. That's why we don't get along. And I realized the truth of her words, that I am my mom on a lot of levels, as opposed to my dad. My sister was more like my father, and he was a lot quieter. And my mom was a real alpha female. She was Lucille Ball, exactly. Just nuts. She had red hair and long legs. She was a dancer. She was black Irish. She had black eyes. She had eyes like Willie Nelson. They're not dark brown. They're black on red hair. And she'd been MacArthur's scrub surgery nurse in New Guinea and Australia during the Second World War. And that's where she learned to cuss and drink and carry on with the men. They were just like something like 14 or 20 nurses and probably over 1,000 guys, soldiers. So she came back from the war wild. And then her two best friends died of polio. And that just really, she just had a hard time believing in God. And in the war, she had held a soldier that had his arms and legs blown off, and she held him in the ocean and thought, there is no God.
Mm-hmm.
So she brought me up agnostic. We didn't talk about God or the Bible or Jesus or anything related to any form of religion or spirituality. So that all came on my own at around age 19. But my mom always said, you know, you create your own heaven and hell right here on earth. And she'd tell me these one-liners later that were so right. And she believed in the ESP. She felt she had it. That was the term they used to use back then.
Mm-hmm.
Remember?
Mm-hmm.
that was about the only term was ESP. And so I was kind of raised by a woman that was actually very spiritually aware, unbeknownst to her, on a lot of levels. And then she had an awakening as she was dying when she read Shirley MacLaine's Out on a Limb and told me that I was her guru, and she finally recognized that. And I went, oh, my God. But she was something. She was my first teacher, obviously. All mothers are. And I wish she was around now. And I do feel that she guided me on this book, because my whole life she said, Rob, you need to write a book. Or when
mm-hmm.
are you going to write your book? You know, she always believed I would.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I feel that she's probably pretty proud.
I would concur. Something else that comes out in your book is a great deal of clarity about prison life. And you lay it right down on the line. You said there are no secrets in prison, and it's always a good policy to share here. You never know when you might need help on whatever level. Now, most people haven't a clue about what prison is like. You have all of these different groups that you talk about when you're in prison, various points of information, but the aspect, the lesson of being willing to ask for help and recognizing those people that do help you, that may be something that's invaluable at any particular time. How difficult was that for you to learn that lesson?
It was like all the spiritual things I'd read my whole life, I was forced to face in prison. Prison's like a pressure cooker where it's like the outside world, but really condensed down to the bottom line. And the bottom line is respect with a capital R. That's what everything boils down to. And that's really the way it is on the outside, too, you know. But inside, that is really important. So you have to learn to respect other races, respect what, just everything. You really start learning to watch what you say and listen more to people. And you have to learn, like each day, subconsciously, you're always in fear because here we go again. What could today bring? And nobody wants any kind of trouble. Like most of the inmates do not want anything to go wrong. You know, they just want to do their time and get out.
Mm-hmm.
But the ones that like the politics, that bring in the politics, that take a DUI prison, which is like an adult daycare center more so than a prison, but they want to make it more like the prisons you see on TV or the real prisons, the real yards. They always say, this isn't the real yard.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's where there's a lot more fear and a lot more politics and all of the evil things you hear about. But I was lucky to be in a DUI prison, which is minimum security. But there's still all the mind games that go on between people. And you just have to learn to try to find somebody that's kind of like you, and if you can't, cordially isolate, but not so much that you ostracize yourself. It's
mm-hmm.
learning to like find your boundaries and keep them with other inmates, because you hear so many stories so many thousands of times that if you think your stories, my story's weird or I had it bad, I heard once that topped mine. I heard a lot of them that topped mine.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
but a lot of those people will never write a book.
Mm-hmm. That's true, and a lot of those.
And
people,
I really believe in the value of journaling. I am
mm-hmm.
big into telling everybody that I started it at an early age, and it doesn't have to be a lot, but just the discipline of writing out your thoughts each day, what you ate, what you did, or whatever. A lot of times you'll look back, and the answer will be there to things you couldn't remember but that you needed to, and you wrote it down. So that's just one benefit, but it does help you to get your feelings out. And
mm-hmm.
I think everybody could benefit from writing. I just think everybody should really try it. It's not that hard. It takes practice. It's like developing a muscle. The more you look at your sentence, the more you can play around with which way you want the words to go and the tone. And with the practice, you just kind of come along your own style. But everybody's got a story. I just happen to tell mine, and it is a pretty bizarre story, to say the least, but I wish more people would write.
You had a portion in your book dedicated to the beads that you've mentioned, the Rudraksha beads.
Right.
And they're called the Holy Tear Seeds of Lord Shiva. This had a tremendous impact on you. Why are these seeds so significant? This is part of the Indian, East Indian culture. How
they
did you
came
learn
on,
about them?
Yeah, it was after Yogananda appeared to me in a near-death experience, and my first wife and I got heavily into practicing his self-realization fellowship teachings.
Mm-hmm.
And a man came to Bellingham from India that had a whole bunch of these and told us all about them. And we got them and started wearing them. And then I just always wore them. Then, as the years went on, I found books that told me a lot more about them. So I understood a lot more about what I'd been wearing. I'd always loved Lord Shiva. He's my chosen form or of image of God. If you have to believe in God takes form, I think he is the most beautiful, coolest, hippest looking Lord around,
mm-hmm.
just to say the least, you know. And those tears he cried for mankind, his tears dropped to earth, they say 125,000 years ago. And the tears sprung forth this tree, and this is the fruit of the tree, are these little seeds that have cleavage faces on them. And they vary from one up to quite a few, like 16 or 18, something, or maybe in the 20s, I forget now, but a lot. They all have different properties. They're like, almost like gemstones. Five is the most common. And to wear them against your skin, the tree, the scientific name, it's the brain tree. They look like your brain. When you look at them under a microscope or the bigger ones from Nepal, they look like a brain, and they work against your endocrine system and your glands and everything else, especially for people with high blood pressure. They've even got ones you can soak in water and drink the water daily, as well as wearing the mala for high blood pressure, and it really brings it down. They are a medicinal seed, actually. They're a holy seed. The Dalai Lama, most all of the yogis in India, they all wear them. They have for thousands and thousands of years. It's a little known secret, but not to them, but to most everybody else. But they're probably the most beneficial thing a person could wear, I believe, are these Rudraksha seeds.
They read
like sci-fi, the Puranas and the different scriptures that talk about them.
Mm-hmm.
They are like Star Trek when they talk about them. So you can read more online about them. They're easy to look up.
Great. You talk about music, and of course you were involved with music. It was such a passion for you, and you loved the drumming, and you had a career with music, and you go into a great deal of detail, but you made a comment that music is undoubtedly the greatest common denominator anywhere on earth, the true universal language. And I had a conversation with someone just this past weekend that said, I challenge you on that, because I don't think that's true. I do know that that's true. How is that true for you? What made you aware that music is a universal language?
Oh, gosh, when we played on the Canadian border for so many years, right by Vancouver, well, there's so many transplants in Canada from all over the world. They would come down, and seeing their reaction to, you know, country rock songs and soft rock songs and et cetera that we played, they loved it. Then when I traveled to Fiji and was there in the jungles playing for the natives on a beat-up guitar with my guitar player friend Bruce back in 79 and 80, it was the common denominator. They would listen to everything even if they didn't know the words and applaud and smile, and then they would play us some of their songs. And when I was in India, if you can sing, I mean, it just is. The human voice, and that's music, if you do it from the heart, people can't help but respond or feel it, because it hits a core inside everybody that it's like Om, the first sound,
mm-hmm.
the sound that all sounds come from, that it's the music of the spheres. Well, everything is a divine music. That when I put my silverware sometimes in the sink with a song going on in the background or whatever, and I hear a spoon clink against a coffee cup, it's right in pitch with the song playing, and it clinked exactly on beat. And this, I see this happening all the time in my life. It's almost like, like seeing how all the sounds fit together. The birds outside, the dogs, the cars going by, whatever. It's all a symphony going on.
That I agree with. Now, you have had some very interesting paranormal experiences. You had one with your sister who had died. She appeared to you, and then when your mother died, there were three hemlock, tall hemlock trees near your cabin that you always felt represented your mother, your father, and you. And on the day of your mother's death, her hemlock fell over and was lying down in the snow. These are very profound experiences. What were the feelings that you had after these happenings?
Everything speaks to me. Just what I was saying, that everything speaks to you. You know, you have to learn to listen to the signs that are around you all the time. And when the cabin burned down and we went through the ashes of the altar, there's a picture of Mahavatar Babaji that did not burn up, along with the symbols he gave a friend that were passed down to me, and a brass Shivalingam. These things did not burn up whatsoever, and the whole house is gone. Everything's gone. So I looked at that like, wow. And with my mother, and my mother came back again when I was alone in an upstairs bedroom after I got out of 6 months of a treatment center, reading some stuff that that was sent to me, and all of a sudden I smelt my mother's perfume. And this box smelled like mold. There was no perfume of her around, but it was distinctly my mother's perfume. Mm-hmm. And I was reading what my father had written that he asked his second wife to give me 5 years after he died. And she forewarned me that you might be shocked because some of the skeletons are going to come out of the closet and what he wrote you. And they did. And when I was reading that, then I smelled my mother's perfume all around me, just mm-hmm. like she was there in the room with me. And, boy, it touches you. I mean, it really, when you have paranormal things happen to you, you do believe in other realities. Or, I mean, like the Course in Miracles says, you know, this, what we think is real here, this is not real at all because it changes all the time. The only thing that's real is unchangeable, and that's God.
Mm-hmm.
So where's God? You know, if we live, if this isn't it, where is he, or he, she, it, whatever you want to call God? You know, so I've found that it's that voice within that always knows what's going on. It just watches. And when I was on a prison floor on the cement, cold, drunk, in a drunk tank, thinking, oh, my Lord, this is it, then this peace came over me that was just so profound. I felt like there was a light turned on right above me, and it was like, it's okay. And I thought, how can it be okay? How can this be okay? But yet, on some deep level, I was so calm inside that it was okay. And that happened after my sister died, too. That was, every time I read that in the book, it makes me cry. That's the hardest part of the book for me, is that part. And when I went to my parents' house after I found out she died, and all the neighbors were coming over to see my parents, then my sister spoke to me in my heightened awareness, and it was like, it's all perfect, Rob. Take care of Mom and Dad. You know, it was my time to go. And that's when I understood the good die young, because she was only 23, and nobody ever had a bad thing to say about my sister. She was like an angel that looked kind of like a French Brooke Shields. She was like a model. She was this gorgeous girl that I fought with my whole younger life, and then we finally get to know each other, and then it was time for her to graduate, and I had to stay around. But she did come back 7 years later at the end of my bed in living color, and I couldn't tell you if it lasted 1 second, 10 seconds, or 5 minutes. She was just there looking at me.
I'll tell you, Rob, your book is awesome. I think you have really, really done a wonderful service for a lot of people. I think if a young person were to read your book, they'd probably say, oh, my goodness, he made all this stuff up. He couldn't have gone through it. But that's not true. And your journey has enabled you now to give the gift of understanding to other people and to live a life that has a purpose and a value that you couldn't even comprehend as you were going through the earlier phases of your journey. I know we're just about out of time here. Rob, what is your website that people can go to?
Oh, boy. They can go to createspace.com/3444489. That's where, if they buy the book there, that's my e-store set up by through Amazon. But if you go to Amazon.com and Google, you know, Still Singing Somehow, and then go to the actual book, you can read all the reviews there. I make less of a profit there, but that's where you'll see more about me. There's a profile on there. There's my List Mania on there. There's way more stuff on me there. On
all
the
right.
Create Space, you can just buy the book there.
All right, and
but,
give me
so
the
So that's really
create
all
space.
I have now. I pardon?
Okay, give me the createspace.com/3444489.
No, there's four fours.
Four fours.
Three,
well, okay.
Yeah.
3444489. Okay, well, Rob, we do have to go. His
okay.
book is Still Singing Somehow by Rob Rideout, and that's Rideout. It's a piece of material that you will sometimes have a difficulty putting down because you can't believe that someone has lived the life as he has lived it. But it is the truth. It's not made up. This is Donna Sebo here. Rob, thank you for being my guest. This
thank
is Donna,
you, Donna
Sebo. We are taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment. Don't go away.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. Four out of the last eight Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Well, telephone lines are now open, and if you would like to call in and chat with me, this is a worldwide toll-free number. Well, just punch in, key in, dial in, talk in, whatever works for your phone system, 888-815-9756. That's worldwide, toll-free, 888-815-9756. Well, we have got a great lineup of guests that are going to be coming on in this week and also for the rest of the month. And true, I haven't got everybody listed, but it'll be on by tomorrow for our guests in September. So let me tell you, tomorrow we'll be talking with Stephen Fogel about how my mind is not my friend. Can you relate to that? Has your mind ever taken you on emotional, mental journeys and you go, how in the world did I get off on that tangent? Yuck. Well, Steve is going to give us some good insights into the mind. And then Barbara Reeves, a mother, who received a manuscript in sections from her son, who's incarcerated. This is a powerful, powerful book. It's called Running Away From Me. And we're going to be talking with her about what it was like to be able to edit, as she did, his story. He couldn't be on the air with us because he's incarcerated at this time, but she can be. And she is a wonderful woman. And then on Friday, we're going to be talking about Following Body Wisdom with Atherton Drent. So we'll have a lot of people, and of course, by tomorrow, all of the information about the other guests that we will be featuring and coming up with, they are going to be right there, so you're going to be able to review all the information. Just remember, you can just come in and check at bbsradio.com at any time to find out about the guests that are going to be coming up on the Donna Sebo Show. Also, if you've missed a show and you want to listen to it, you can go to the archives, so don't hesitate to do that. All right, I wanted to share a poem with you by Janice Pinkney, and there is the most gorgeous illustration that goes along with this poem, and it is like a Hawaiian sunset, and it has all of these wonderful colors and tones in it. It's like just right at the end of summer when the hours are shortening as far as daylight goes. There's a change in the color hues. And this is what it reads, or how it reads. A purple sunset strewn across an August sky, opal-tinted clouds dipped in raindrops. These breathe summer into our souls. Oh, it's just absolutely amazing. Of course, here, every summer's just disappeared. It evaporated away. Oh, I know. They're giving us weather reports. We're supposed to warm up. But right now, it is fall. It smells like fall, it's acting like fall, it's raining like fall here in the Pacific Northwest. So we can't fake it till we make it here too easily because Mother Nature has a way of saying, hello, you better wake up, this is what's going to be going on. Okay, I've got some things that I wanted to share with you today. And again, if you want to give me a call, give me a buzz at 888-815-9756. Remember, all I need from you is your first name or initial. And then after that, sit back, relax. Let me tell, of course, I like to know where you're calling in from. Let me tell you what I perceive, and then you'll be able to ask me a question after I finish giving you my insight. So that's 888-815-9756. All right, let's talk about saving money a little bit, because here we are, fall of the year. Yes, we're here. And there are so many things that if you are really watching your penny, nickel, diamond, quarter stash and you're saying, oh, I've got things I've got to buy. Well, I'll tell you what. September is a big season for big appliances. And the reason is all kinds of new models of washers, dryers, refrigerators, etc. are coming into the showroom floors. So retailers are going to start discounting whatever stock they are carrying in September and October. They've got to make way for new inventory. You could save 30% or more. And don't forget, when you go in and you have these sale opportunities, ask them what is the best bargain. Another suggestion, whenever you're going out to buy, don't just think, gee, I'm going to get the cheapest thing out there. Try to get something like Consumer Reports or information that enables you to determine what is going to be the best value for the dollar that you're spending. Maybe spending that extra $100 is going to ensure that you have a top-grade appliance or whatever it is that you're buying. Could be a $10 improvement. You never know. But think about it, and your dollars are important, so you want to put them where you're going to, again, get the best value. Now, cooking supplies, oh, yes, I hate to say this, but the holidays are coming up. Yes, 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 I know. And if you're like me, every time you see something showing Santa Claus and it's August, you're going, excuse me, please, we haven't even gotten into Halloween. But the reality is, if you have parties or if you're going to be serving for a huge family gathering, why don't you take advantage of markdowns that are going to be occurring with cookware, pots and pans, baking items, just keep your eyes open. And for those of you that might be interested, there's a lot of aluminum cooking pans, like for turkeys and other things, that are marked down in a lot of stores this time of the year. Also, if you, during the upcoming holiday season, like to have prime rib or special cuts of meat, check out those stores that do supply restaurants. And if you check them out, you're going to find out that they may have special meat sales, and you can put the stuff in the freezer. It doesn't hurt to think ahead. I know prices have gone up on so many things, and inflation does that. So if you are really wanting to mind those dollars, that's it. Also, figure out where you can go if you have kids and you're trying to look at things that maybe you can put on layaway. Boy, am I a layaway person. There's so much in my life. There was a time when you could buy clothes on layaway, just about anything, depending on the store you were in. You could have something in layaway for a period of time. Well, some stores are bringing this back. And if you're on a budget and you have so much money that you can set aside for those special items, well, find out about a layaway club that maybe you can take your inventory that you have made a list of what you need, whether it's hardware stuff or toys for the kids, and see if there's a way that you can put something on layaway. It sure does help when you're going from paycheck to paycheck, or if you are unemployed or something like this. It really can enable you to get some not just good bargains, but also be able to pay in a timely way. And plants, by golly, check out your local state organizations that will have special sales on plants. They can have them in your community. Just call up and ask in the government offices, what department do I check with horticulture, where you sell, you know, different things that you've been growing because you are going to be planting things out by the freeway, et cetera. Where can I get the best value? I know a gal who totally landscaped her whole house area, the outside of the area, because she said, I was on a tight budget. Found out that there was a state group that she could go to. She had all kinds of small starters. She said, cedar trees I started, they are plenty big right now. And she said, it just is absolutely amazing. So wondering about the weather, what you should get, you can save 50% or more on plants and shrubs because nurseries are trying to clear out their stock too. So just remember, when you're planting perennials, lower temps actually make it a better time to plant them because it allows the roots to expand and grow. So that's just a few suggestions. And the last one, holidays, not to be ignored, but just good social entertaining, wine. If you're a person that enjoys good wine, there are a lot of them that are going to be on sale, and fall is a great time to buy. Because this is a harvesting time for vineyards, and with wineries releasing their latest vintages, there's a whole bunch of wine coming into the market. So those that have been sitting on the shelves are going to get marked down big time. All kinds of little tips, and I thought I'd just pass them along to you because I think it's a good idea to do that. After all, we're all wanting to do more with our money and make it stretch further. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you would like to chat, 888-815-9756. And by the way, I have a recipe for a ham and cheese strata that I think you might enjoy. And it's so convenient for a quick meal with the family, a great way to use up leftovers. So have your pad of paper and pen handy, and I will share it with you. This is Donna. Let's take our first call for the day. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Hi, Donna. It's Pat in Connecticut.
Hi, Pat. And you'll have to tell me where in Connecticut.
New Haven.
New Haven. All right. Let's get down to business. Boy, are you busy cleaning things out of your space. I'm looking at you saying, I am determined. I am going to get things done, and I just want to compliment you. All you need to do is add one other component, and that is maybe have a friend party and let your friends know what you're trying to do and say, let's go for it, and they'll be right there with you, and it'll work 10 times faster than what you would ever imagine. So whether you're cleaning out sock drawers or you're shredding papers that need to be shredded to make room in the garage. Doesn't make any difference. You're really in the mode to do this, and I want to say go for it. It's going to be the best thing you did, and you're going to be amazed if you enlist your friends at how fast this will all get done. Lots of change occurring for you, especially as of February of 2011. And the reason that it's occurring with such a rate of speed is that you are going through and have been going through a process of really gaining clarity with your life. So be aware, what you're doing is excellent. Now, Pat, I want you to stay on the line, if you will. We're going to take a break for just a moment, and then I'll come back and get your question.
Thank you, Donna.
You are welcome. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break for just a moment. Don't forget to have that pad of paper and pen handy, too, if you want a good recipe. We'll be back in just a moment to get Pat's question.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
Johnny finds himself at the entrance to a large open valley, framed by high mountains rich in the brown red colors of the earth. He stands in awe, even a little fearful of the mountain's great size. After all, he's just a little boy and not very tall.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling, and the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com. That 800 number again, 872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna. I was just told by our engineer that our toll-free number is not working, so if you'd like to call in on our direct line, it's 530-413-4510 or 4522, and we'll be able to take your call. Sorry, there's been some technical challenges, and they are just trying to work through them. So anyway, that's the number if you want to call. Let's go back to Pat and get her question. Hi, Pat.
Hi, Donna.
What's the question? You are welcome.
You know, that's appropriate what you said, but I've fallen backwards and into a very deep depression. And I'm really trying to struggle to get myself out of this once and for all with changing my thinking. And, you know, with you saying I'm working hard and making progress, that makes me feel good. But some days I just feel like I'm being a big baby and resisting and fearful, and I don't know if I'm, you know, helping myself at all.
Well, Pat, sometimes it's okay to have those feelings. There's no way you're going to go through life where you're going to be tripping the light fantastic all the time. It's just not going to happen. And sometimes there are hormonal changes in the body that create triggers. And I think this is one of the things that you're going to learn more about. And that will be observing yourself and perhaps keeping a record to see what the patterning is. And so frequently, there are these hormonal patterns. If you've not gotten enough sleep, the hormones go wacky. If you're not getting enough of the right nutrition, the hormones are affected. Lots of times, I know here in the Pacific Northwest, women more than men, but I've known men to have the same effect. They have what they call the sad disorder. If
right.
It's gray or overcast, oh, my goodness, they just go under very, very quickly. So
right.
That's where you need to have certain lights around you because it's all chemical. And when you're going through it, there is a disassociation process. Sometimes we have to really make an effort, you know, when you're going through something like this, to say, okay, I know I've been this route before. What can I do? Do I need to go scrub the kitchen floor? God, no, but I don't recommend that to anybody. But sometimes it works. I've known it's worked for some people. Wash windows. Do I go walking around somewhere, walk around the block? It is getting the chemistry of the body back in harmony. I knew of one man who was an attorney who would go into such deep, deep depression because of the gray of fall and winter in the far north. He literally became non-functional. He just
yeah.
couldn't think, nothing would work. So he put in the full spectrum lighting. Actually, he didn't put it in. His partner sent him to Hawaii. As soon as he stepped off the plane, he was in great shape.
Yeah.
The sunshine.
Right.
But his partner had heard about the full spectrum lighting and went and put in a wall of full spectrum lights. And this man came back because it was the dead of winter. It was still gray. It was still the far north weather. And he stepped into the office. They flipped the light switch on, and he hasn't missed a day since.
Wow.
And this is something that often we don't associate with, but it's all chemical.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important for you to be alert to that.
Okay.
Because with women especially, after they start into menopause, and then when they're in the menopause cycle, and then afterwards, the hormonal level is strongly affected by light.
This may be
something you may want to explore, because it is getting, you know, darker earlier. You don't have as much sunlight.
Well, I live in a very dark converted garage, and I'm applying to get into different housing, which is for artists, so there's lots of light there.
Mm-hmm. But keep in mind, you can use the full spectrum lighting. You can go to any one of the box stores, inquire about it, and find out what it is that they have available, and make that investment.
Go to any one of what stores?
The box stores, the big, you know, the big warehouse stores that supply hardware items, et cetera. It's a very small investment.
Okay, thank you so much.
You are welcome. Okay,
thanks.
Dear. You have a great day. Bye-bye. This is Donna Sebo. I'm not going to give you the recipe today. I said have that pad of paper handy. Well, maybe I'll change my mind. I'm going to instead give you the cheesy pierogi salad. Yes, pierogies. You've heard about them. They're those wonderful, wonderful potato and cheese blend items. The Russians are so noted for them, and other cultures too. This is so easy, and it's a great, I think it's a flavorful winter dish, believe it or not. It's great for summer. And, of course, for those of you that are listening in warm weather environments right now, you're not having storms and rain like we are here in the Pacific Northwest. This is really something that could be served all year round. It's just really flavorful. So what you're going to need is one package, a 16-ounce package of frozen potato and cheese pierogies. And you want to just leave them out a little bit because you want them slightly thawed. And then you're going to need some Caesar vinaigrette. You're going to need about 6 tablespoons of that, 6 cups of baby spinach leaves, 3 plum tomatoes, and you want to cut the plum tomatoes in slices. Of course, it's good if they're ripe. Sometimes when you get them in the store, you feel like you can use them for a football because they've been transported from a long distance away. But this time of year, you should have delicious tomatoes available. Then you need about 1/2 cup of pitted Kalamata olives. Those are very flavorful olives. And then 1/2 cup of crumbled blue cheese. Now, if you don't like Kalamata olives, use your favorite olive, whatever just really pleases your taste buds. So what you want to do, you want to gently over a grill pan or a skillet, you use a little cooking spray with it. You put your pierogies, you know, you have the skillet cooking. Excuse me, let me get this straight. You have the skillet cooking or heating up. And then in a bowl, you want your pierogies with 2 tablespoons of the Caesar dressing. You want to toss that. Then you're going to grill or saute your pierogies. You turn them once, and it's going to take about 3 or 4 minutes per side to cook them. They're going to get nice and golden brown. Then, this is so simple. Put your spinach on a platter, a big platter, so you can toss it easily, or in a bowl, and put your pierogies, your tomatoes, your olives and cheese, put it all there, drizzle it with the remaining dressing, and if you want to add an extra flavor, use some freshly grated lemon rind, your lemon zest, about 2 teaspoons, because that's going to have a very pungent accent. And just toss it all together. Oh, you've just got a wonderful meal there. Absolutely wonderful. Serves, you know, it can serve 4 to 6 people. It can be your main dish, or it could be just a little side dish, whatever you would like. But that's a real easy recipe to go for. And, you know, speaking of going for, we're going to have to say goodbye today, and we'll be going for another show tomorrow. right here on bbsradio.com. And we'll be talking about how my mind is not my friend, Stephen Fogel. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. There's no one like you on this planet. Aren't you glad? It's great to be unique, and it's wonderful to know that you have a gift to share with life. The journey is to find out what those gifts are and how you can use them. Makes life interesting, don't you think? This is Donna Sebo. Have a delightful day or evening wherever you are, and we'll be back with you tomorrow, same time, same place. This is Donna Sebo. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.